The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Saw an interesting tweet from Jeremy Brannon the other day, part of the Killer Bees, which comes up next. And it was a very long, well thought out tweet thread about why the Texans should not draft a quarterback in this coming draft, first overall. And I'll admit, I've been back and forth when it comes to what I think the Texans should do with that first overall pick. Branham tweeted it out. Here's a case today on why the Texans shouldn't take a quarterback first overall. Take the best player available or trade down. I prefer trading down. He brings up about how teams with a winning record acquired their quarterback seventh, the Bills, after making the playoffs in 18. Mahomes, the 10th in 2017 after making the playoffs. Lamar Jackson getting going to the Ravens 32nd in 2017, who went 8-8. And then he brings up some of the other early picks as well that were made over the last couple of years. Joe Burrow, first overall to the Bengals. Tua Tagovailoa, who was thought to be going to be the best quarterback ever, fifth overall after a 5-11 season. Zach Wilson, Jalen Hurts, a second-round draft pick. Kirk Cousins, the trade for him. He just lists a bunch of different quarterbacks, but he says in conclusion, there hasn't been a quarterback drafted in the top nine to win a Super Bowl on the team that drafted him since Eli Manning in 2011. In this century, it's happened only three times, and it's a Manning all three times. And I'm just going to pause right there before I go through the rest of the thread. It is no longer about winning Super Bowls with this team. Right now, it is about bringing people back. I don't think the Texans, from a business perspective, can afford to pass on drafting a quarterback with that first overall pick because nobody cares about them and nobody likes them, and the only way to draw people back is to draft Bryce Young first overall. That has nothing to do with his size, his skills, and whether or not he's going to succeed in the NFL. From a, hey, we need something to get people to care again, Bryce Young is the only decision this organization can make. And I'm very curious as to if Cal McNair is going to put pressure on Nick Caserio to do that. McNair has been rather hands-off when it comes to things like that. But this is no longer just about football. This is about relevance. This is about creating an entertaining product. From that perspective, selfishly, I don't give a damn what Caserio wants. I want a quarterback next year because I cannot do another season of this. I just can't. I need something to make me believe that there is a chance that this team will be playing meaningful football games again. So I'm not looking at this from a rational roster-building perspective. But you should also be looking at it from that perspective and say the Texans do like Bryce Young but realize their limitations as a roster. Or maybe it's C.J. Stroud or something like that. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, who we had on yesterday, had this to say about the idea of just sitting back and waiting until the future to find a guy when your roster is not a good one.
You don't pass them up because, well, we're not good enough yet. We're going to wait. Wait for what? You ain't going to be around to draft the guys if you wait. You have to draft accordingly, and if you don't feel one of them is the right fit, or then you move on. But that's the way you determine it.
Now, hearing Landry there, Landry also said over the course of yesterday's interview, which you can check out on the Paul Gallant Show podcast, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify, he said in that conversation that you also have to draft the best player available, and you can't force one of these quarterbacks to be your best player available. And I'm sure there will be some defensive linemen or wide receivers who maybe grade out higher than Bryce Young on their draft board. The odds of it being the quarterback at the top, not that high, I would imagine, because of Young's size and because of maybe questions you have about shorter quarterbacks. Zach Wilson struggles of late. Baker Mayfield struggles of late. Kyler Murray struggles of late. Russell Wilson struggles of late, even though he had a great start to his career. Like, there are some concerns about short quarterbacks, I think, right now that are well-founded, in addition to the fact that Young is slight of frame and maybe isn't going to hold up that well against getting crushed all the time. Lamar Jackson's not the biggest guy in the world either, but Lamar Jackson, for the most part, has been rather healthy, at least until, you know, right now. So, anyway, those are factors that will be considered when the Texans do create their draft board. But say the Texans decide to go the Jeremy Branham approach. Okay, let's agree with where Branham's going for the sake of conversation. Is there an alternative option to bring in at quarterback right now that would actually be exciting? We're talking right now. I have it for you. Hey, do you guys remember this goofball? Houston area high school legend, Andrew Luck.
Good job, big boy. Little home. Ah, big strong man. Nice. Yeah. All right, nice play, buddy.
Andrew Luck and his delightfully ogre-ish voice always tickled me a bunch. Seems like a wonderful guy. Maybe there are some questions about, hey, how he handled the end of his time in Indianapolis, retiring in the preseason as opposed to just retiring after the regular season was done, did kind of screw the Colts over a little bit. Seth Wickersham put together a piece at ESPN about why Luck walked away. And I guess he went to Amsterdam after the 2017 season where he knew that he was going to need something done to his shoulder because it wasn't responding the way that he wanted it to. A therapist asked him this question. How much of your self-identity was tied to being a quarterback? A lot.
And I didn't realize that until after the fact,
said Andrew Luck, just like that. And this therapist asked him, aren't you more than just a quarterback? Luck, after this meeting, started thinking about life after football. And when it came to the 2018 season, he wanted to return and play well for him. But that was it, per this article. And he wishes that he had said, I'm out, after they lost in the playoffs to Kansas City. And he came back with the intention of retiring after the preseason game where Adam Schefter, surprise, he's done this before, spoiled Luck's ability to actually retire on his own terms. So he ends up getting booed at the Colts Stadium for retiring in the middle of that game. But this goes a little bit further, and a question was asked of him by a kid at a high school that he visited, I guess, recently. And the kid asked, what's your biggest regret from your NFL career? And Luck, cursed in his mind, writes the Wickersham piece, having hoped for a softball.
Good question. I regret the timing of when I retired.
I don't know why he sounds like an Urukai, but that's what Andrew Luck's voice is.
Also a little Alex Jones-ish.
Yeah.
It's like a garbled Alex Jones.
A garbled Alex Jones, yes. Some Ed Orgeron, a little bit there, but you don't hear it like,
hey, it's me, Andrew Luck. Go Tigers. I have a flip phone.
Andrew Luck is somebody who has, in the past, had his self-worth attached to being a quarterback. We're down bad. We're desperate, right? Is it possible to use that against him? And I know I'm talking about really toxic behavior right now, but say, I don't know, you saw Andrew Luck at the grocery store. You're in Indianapolis and you see him. He's taking a look at cabbage. It seems like that would be his favorite food. And as he's looking at that cabbage, you go up to him and say, not a football player anymore, huh? And just walk away. Just plant that seed of doubt. And then Andrew's like,
well, my self-worth was being a football player. Maybe my self-worth still is being a football player. Do I miss football?
You want to be toxic. Be toxic. That way you can get Andrew Luck back. Okay, and look, the Colts probably would want Andrew Luck back, but like, does he want to stay in Indianapolis after those fans booed him there? No, he doesn't want to stay there. Indianapolis is a dump. Like, who wants to live in that place? Oh, but all the convention areas are really close to each other. Everyone who says that is such a freaking nerd. Everyone who says that. And that's a lot of NFL media. And if any of you guys are listening right now, you guys are massive nerds for acting like Indianapolis is a good city.
Let's have this combine there.
How about literally anywhere else? Miami, Vegas, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas, because it's in February that we're talking about it, Los Angeles, Arizona. No, but let's do it in Indianapolis. You people are absolute nimrods thinking that that's a good place to go. Atlanta, Charlotte, somewhere warmer. Anyway, you could convince Andrew Luck to leave. Let's be toxic and trick Andrew Luck into thinking that he needs to play football again. You know, it might hurt his relationship with his wife and his kids. Who cares? We're down bad. And it's about us now. So it's just an idea. But if you have an unconventional idea to get a quarterback for the Texans without drafting one, let's play with Jeremy Branham here. What are your options? What are your alternatives? There's another option. This one's going to involve you being really, really patient. But guess what, guys? I think that this would work too. So that's on the table. Plus, there's something the Texans should learn from week 13 of this season. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We do have some breaking news in the NFL. Bills pass rusher Von Miller is out for the year after undergoing ACL surgery. He was having a pretty good season, 8 sacks in 11 games, but now he is gone before Mike White and the New York Jets take on the Buffalo Bills this coming Sunday. Jets won the last time around. Anyway, I want alternative suggestions for what the Texans could do at quarterback, say they don't draft one with that first overall pick. From the 3-4-6, an actually serious thought. I like this one. I don't know if Derek Carr is a free agent or not, but the Texans should pick him up if able, or trade a third rounder, especially if Brady goes to Vegas, trade back the first pick, pick up draft capital. I would gladly take Derek Carr. First off, he is way better than anything you have right now. Second, he's entertaining in press conferences because he's a little sensitive. And third, you can have a coming home video at NRG Stadium. Just imagine it, first day of the 2023 NFL season. You've got the Jay-Z, Puff Daddy, Puff Lion, Puff...
I don't know what you're trying to...
Who's the guy that sings the I'm Coming Home song?
Well, it's a woman that sings
it. She sings that part.
Yeah, I think that's a Diddy song.
Okay. Is he Diddy now?
Yes.
Not P. Diddy.
I mean, sure.
Why isn't he Puff Daddy anymore? You get like...
How old are you again?
33. I'm just asking the questions. Why has he changed his name like 6 times?
He's allowed to evolve as an artist, Paul.
How does that evolve you at all? You just change your name. What does that do? No, now, instead of Puff Daddy, now I'm Diddy.
It's easier to rhyme with Diddy than Puff Daddy.
Why not be Sean Combs? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with your name?
I don't know.
Like, you're going to listen to a song, hey, it's by Puff Daddy. Wow, he did a cover of The Police. Incredible. It's about a dead guy. Woohoo! Was that about Biggie Smalls? Notorious B.I.G.? Anyway, Paul Talks Music. Check out the podcast. To go back, hey, have a video with Derek Carr entering NRG Stadium. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And it shows a young Derek Carr catching passes from Texans legend, first Texan ever, David Carr on NRG Stadium field. And then you just have a montage of Derek Carr with his weird twang that is either from Northern California or his time here in Houston growing up. You just have that on in the background. Just a couple of clips of him sounding super Texan. Nailed it. Derek Carr. I don't hate that idea, especially if all of those things happen where they have a montage video of him coming in.
They have to force him to wear number 8. Just so we can all reuse the jerseys. Even though I can't because I was like 5 years old, but still.
Listen, Clay Walker and number 8 for your quarterback. David Carr, Matt Schaub.
All the great ones.
Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Honor your brother's legacy.
The two best and the best hypothetical quarterback.
Carr would be the best quarterback in Texans history, based off of resume immediately.
Oh, yeah, Derek, yeah.
Yeah, Derek Carr would be. And he would overtake Watson by a little bit, because Derek Carr has actually received MVP votes, which Watson never has. Anyway, other alternative options at quarterback. Todd, the show on Twitch, suggests just bring in Case Keenum for a year. For a year? For life. Come on. Man, Keenum mania was hilarious. He had a decent game against the Chiefs, his first game. That was the game where a bunch of Texans got kicked off the team because they were smoking like weed or something else, spice maybe. I'm not 100% sure what it was, Sean. You're making a face.
No, when you said smoking something else, I was like, they're not smoking crack.
No, they're not smoking crack. To my knowledge, but it was like Sonic Sam Montgomery, who was like a third round pick, Sierre Wood, and I want to say it was Willie Jefferson, who actually showed some flashes as a player in the league, and it's a shame that it didn't work out for him. I thought Jefferson actually had the potential to be a good player, you know, a contributor in the league, but they all got kicked off the team, and Keenum comes in and he like has a decent game. It wasn't great. But then the next game, he has this ridiculous first half against the Indianapolis Colts in Sunday Night Football. This is the game where Gary Kubiak has like a heart attack or stroke or whatever he did. And you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, the Texans have something, and it's a Cougs legend. And the town lost its mind for like 2 years and was just completely irrational about all things Case Keenum. And I kind of want to bring that back. I miss it. I miss it now. Of course, if I was actually dealing with it on a daily basis, I would probably get sick of it pretty quickly.
Imagine the Davis Mills defenders, but like, there's more of them, and they're more aggressive about it because it's someone they have an attachment to.
At least Case Keenum has had any moment in the NFL. He had the year with the Vikings. He had those like brief moments against the Colts. He came back in relief duty the next season and for a team that finished with a winning record. Like, the Mills people, I just don't get you. You're very strange. There was nothing to write home about. I watched some of those games down the stretch last year, too. Oh, wow, he's really special. Really? He was? Why? Because he was not terrible? Oh, wow, cool. But this is the option that you have. Alternative quarterback options. Since Jeremy Branham doesn't want us to go with the quarterback first overall, which I don't necessarily hate the take. I just don't think you can't afford to do it if you're the Texans right now. No one cares. I would like to care. I think a lot of other people would potentially like to care, but maybe you don't. And as someone suggested, maybe 4 games in, you're like, oh, wow, Bryce Young's actually not good. But you could still lie to yourself and say, like, hey, it's next year. Then it's the year after that.
I mean, Jets fans were lying to themselves about Zach Wilson until like 2 weeks,
weeks ago. Yeah. Yes, weeks ago.
Also, Zach Wilson, trade for him.
No, no.
What?
No, 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 no. Absolutely not.
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, I could be talking okay to Trey Lance.
These aren't that off the wall, but they're kind of the... When you're not drafting a quarterback, I don't think you can roll back out here with Davis Mills and definitely not Kyle Allen.
How about Mac Jones?
Yeah,
I'm not feeling that with Mac Jones either.
The thing with Wilson, less so with Wilson, but with Lance, is that there's some upside. Like, there's some, like, oh, maybe you can stumble into someone who's actually, like, really good. With Mac Jones, I feel like he's destined to top out at, like, Kirk Cousins.
Would you pull a Matt Schaub with Mike White? Mike White has some balls. I don't know if he's good, but he at the very least, like, he's ballsy.
If your plan is to draft a quarterback in 24 or 25, Mike White's not the worst option. Give him a year.
White's a much better short-term alternative than a lot of people out there. Heinicke would have been a better short-term person as well in
just
Washington.
Let him walk.
Yeah. But, okay, fine. Maybe it's all about this, okay? It's not about next year, 2023. It's not about next year, 2024. It's not about the next year, 2025. It's not about the next year, 2026. It's not about the next year, 2027. It's not about the next year, 2028. It's about 20, if I'm doing my math right, 29. Because that will be when a legend officially is eligible to be drafted. We don't know where he's going to college. Hell, we don't even know where he's going to high school, technically. We're talking about eighth grader, he is an eighth grader, who just won the 7A state championship in Alabama with a victory over, I guess, Auburn's high school, Trent Seaborn. He just won the state title with a varsity high school team as an eighth grade quarterback, and it's not like he's a game manager. He threw for like five touchdowns in the state championship. Also, this is an eighth grader speaking. This kid is in eighth grade. He is actually a kid. He is far away from even being able to vote. Here is him talking about that state championship victory.
Well, first off, he obviously caught those touchdowns for me. And me and Corbin, I mean, we have a close relationship, I mean, throughout the whole season. And I kind of only met him this year, but throughout the year, we got closer and closer. You know, we would work out on the weekends. We would throw with each other. We would create that bond with each other. And I just thought that tonight, he balled out. I mean, it's his last game. He deserves it.
Trent Seaborn. You hear him there? He's already popping off cliches.
I also like that he mentioned that he didn't know him and that this was his last game because he's playing varsity high school football.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I didn't really know him. Well, yeah, he was a high school senior and you're in eighth grade.
Trent Seaborn plays for the Thompson Warriors. They won the Class 7A state championship. They, in the middle of the year, lost their three-star quarterback, Zach Sims. So Seaborn took his place, and they went on a run. Imagine being that kid. You get injured, and an eighth grader steps in for you. And
he's Jason Street of this high school?
Yeah. I mean, a three-star quarterback, that's pretty damn good. Seaborn, after taking over, completed, and again, it's high school numbers, but he's in eighth grade, 71% of his passes. That's pretty damn good. For 1181 yards and 14 touchdowns, and in the state championship game, 12 of 14 for 207 yards and 5 touchdowns, which is a record. That is insane. So you got to wait until either 2029 or maybe 2030. But that's when it's all going to change for the Texans. It's just, do my math, it's 2022, 2023, 2027, 2028, 2029. At least 7 years. And you could build up your whole roster. You're probably thinking to yourself right now, well, Paul, like most NFL players' careers only last 3 years. And a first-round draft pick, you only get the fifth-year option for the contract. So literally, like, nothing matters right now. That's true. But think about it. You could have the first overall pick in 2030 and draft that guy. And to a degree, I'm not making fun of Jeremy's point. I'm just saying you can continue to wait for a quarterback. Eventually, you got to get one. And from an organizational perspective, you need one right now, just from a business perspective. But also, eventually, you're going to need to shoot and get the guy in. You're really going to pass on Bryce Young in this year's draft. What happens if he goes elsewhere and he's good? Like you're kind of screwed here. You kind of have to take Bryce Young. And yeah, that might set you back a couple of years. But honestly, this is an organization that's only drafted a first-round quarterback twice. It was Watson and David Carr. Okay, it's a coin flip. 50-50 they get it right. I would say for a first-round quarterback, it's about 50-50 that you get like someone decent. It's worth flipping the coin. Flipping the coin is a better alternative than what you have right now, which is an absolute dumpster fire. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, Jim Crane spoke with Jerome Solomon in the Houston Chronicle, and we'll keep you abreast of everything else going on baseball's hot stove with Aaron Judge heading back to the New York Yankees. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Insurance rates are skyrocketing right now. Inflation has made everything more expensive, including your home policy. And some customers had 30, 40, and even 50% increases before they made the switch to TGS. Why switch to TGS? Because they make it easy. They make it fast. You don't want to spend time on the phone calling somebody to figure out what's cheap and what's not and write it down on a piece of paper and then compare notes, and you're not even 100% sure if you actually remember the insurance company that you just spoke with on the phone before you compare to another one. They do it for you with their instant quoting system that shops the market and delivers you savings in 15 seconds, and all you got to do is text MONEY to 232323. Again, MONEY to 232323. You give them your address. You send it back. They send, you send that, and they send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The savings are dope, yo. Sound like Jesse Pinkman there. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. It's simple, it's fast, it's easy, and big savings. The TGS Insurance way. Let them work for you today by texting MONEY to 232323.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We do have a couple of comments. Did Derek Carr from the 713 say that he would never play in Houston again? And that is interesting. I guess he was heartbroken when the Texans didn't draft him. That's from an article in October of this year. When I was getting drafted, I wanted to go there. They didn't pick me first overall, but 33rd, I thought, maybe 33rd. They didn't want me, so I was a little heartbroken over that, but it is what it is. 9 years down the road, some of those feelings have gone away, you know, but I have the utmost respect for that organization just because of the way that they treated my family.
So now it's the perfect time to right that wrong.
Yeah. He's coming home, coming home. We could have drafted him 33rd overall. Instead, we drafted Xavier Suafilo. Whoops, we probably shouldn't have done that. Hey, Derek, come back. We will have you get less sacked than your brother because we care about your mother. Tell the world I'm coming. See, that was good. It was a good song. Rhymes, you know, it worked. Hey, other comments also, and it has to do with the alternative suggestions at quarterbacks. I do need to get to the bottom of this one. How old is Trent Seaborn? Paul asked to Google. Okay. Someone suggested that Seaborn is 16 years old. No, he is 14. I don't have his birth certificate in front of me, but he is 14 years old. So none of that fake news out there.
I want to see his birth certificate.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions.
Where's his birth certificate?
Yeah. If he's got nothing to hide, show it to him.
Is he from Cuba? I want to see his records. Is he Danny Amante? I need to know.
But again, like we're talking about, whatever the case, assuming he's not 20, he does sound older there. Assuming he's not 20, great. Someone else suggests draft Kentucky's Will Levis in the first. No, stop. Hey, guys, it's time for the Astros countdown. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the regular season.
The 2023 baseball season is almost tomorrow. Are you even ready?
What do you have to say to everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Y'all.
All right.
There's no downtime. What? You wanted a break from baseball? I guess you wanted a break from winning, loser.
Ring the f***ing bell! It's one of the World Series!
It's the Astros.
Astros!
Astros countdown!
113. Let's go! Jim Crane spoke with Jerome Solomon in a Houston Chronicle article. This line will give a lot of you Astros fans out there who think Jim Crane can do no wrong a giant pants tent. The past few years showed me how hard it is to win. I believe we were the best team in 2019 and didn't win. We ran short on pitching in 2021 and still got to Game 6 of the World Series. A 500 record in the World Series is not bad. But I want more. That's Jim Crane for you, everybody. Some other interesting pieces from that column by Jerome Solomon, that interview that he did. The split with James Click, who had been general manager since 2020, seems odd considering the team just had one of its most successful seasons. Said Crane of James Click, did a lot of good things and made some good moves. He is a smart guy. Crane says their issue was simply a difference in management styles. Ned Wade didn't give him the answers he sought. Former general manager, Crane fired him and hired Jeff Luhnow. When Luhnow said he was out of the loop about the team's sign-stealing operation, Crane fired him and hired Click. This isn't new. I'm a CEO. I like to know how everything runs and what everybody's doing. But then saying, I kind of know how baseball works, and I try to get the best information before making decisions. Jock Jim Crane, everybody. I love that. God, the guy's so damn cocky.
500 in the World Series is okay. I kind of know how baseball works.
You can like it or you can hate it. Take your pick. I do think that the Astros' work environment maybe isn't the best. But hey, at the very least, he's giving out those rings to everybody. And one other little part of this, it has to do with Justin Verlander. The reason Crane let Verlander walk, it got to a number that we couldn't match. Would have been nice to have him. We had a good relationship. We just couldn't get to that number. I've always said you need three things to win: pitching, pitching, and pitching. And the pitching depth that the Astros have is pretty good. What else is going on across baseball? We did think last night that the New York Yankees had completely bleeped up their attempt to bring Aaron Judge back into the fold, but they did extend him today. 9 years, $360 million for him to stay in New York. Makes sense. Can you let him walk after he sets the franchise record in home runs? I guess not. I just think that this is the kind of deal that limits what else they can do. And I mean, they need more than just Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is the reason that they got as far as they did, because the whole team went cold, all of their bats, for the last couple of months of the year. But good for Judge. I mean, he gets essentially 360, 213 was the initial offer. It's two extra years of a contract, but I mean, in terms of overall money, that's essentially a like 50% increase from the last Yankee offer in totality. So good job by Aaron Judge. I don't think a great job by Brian Cashman, but suppose what were you going to do in that spot? Other moves. The Phillies have been very aggressive. They signed Taijuan Walker to a 4-year, $72 million deal, right-hander from the New York Mets, the day after they gave Trey Turner $300 million over 11. And Turner, I guess, turned down $341 million to play for the Padres. And if you take a look at the tax situation between Pennsylvania and between San Diego, the Padres, even with the taxes in California, did offer more. It is weird because Fernando Tatis is technically their shortstop, but maybe this is a warning shot that they were supposed to, that they were trying to fire at Fernando Tatis too. Like, hey, we can replace you. We will replace you. We don't care about replacing you. But man, you would turn down $341 million to live in San Diego, a team that, at the very least, has been competitive of late and cares of late. You would turn that down to live in Philly? And my family's from Philly. You would turn that down? I think that's a stupid move by Trey Turner. Maybe it's because the organization drafted him and didn't keep him around or something like that, because he was drafted by the Padres way back in the day, but eh. The Rangers made another move. They signed Andrew Heaney, who also has, like Jacob deGrom, injury issues. 2 years with an opt-out in the middle. The Guardians signed first baseman Josh Bell, who could have been who the Astros signed instead of Jose Abreu. 2 years, $33 million. I'm glad that they went Jose Abreu instead. Bell was not very good when he was traded to the Padres at the end of last year. And the last thing we've got here in baseball, I love this. You know what? The teams that are poor and suck and don't compete, they should be punished for it. Baseball's first draft lottery took place last night, and the A's, despite having a 16.5% chance along with the Pirates and the Nationals, they have the sixth pick in this year's draft. That's awesome. The Pirates, meanwhile, the Nationals are 1-2. They had the same percentage chance. So the A's kind of got screwed over there, but I like it. The A's don't deserve to get a nice pick. Anyway, that's the Paul Gallant Show Hot Stove Watch. Up next, there are a couple of teams left in the World Cup, and I'm going to give you entirely historical reasons to root against them. But first, I want to tell you about us celebrating Christmas early with you here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as part of our season of giving. We're kicking off this holiday season by giving a little extra back to our awesome listeners. Today, we're giving away $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill all day long. Dress up or dress down, a bourbon or a beer, a ribeye or a burger. Reserve the Federal American Grill today at any of our four locations. Caller 3 to 713-780-3776 wins a $50 gift card to Federal American Grill. Tune in all December long for our season of giving and head to ESPN975.com/season for more info on how you can get involved.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
So, if you watched my Twitch show yesterday, I decided to power rank the teams left in the World Cup entirely based off of how much of an a-hole they've been historically. Because right now, we don't have any real rooting interests, right? Unless you're, you know, not a patriot and you want to root for another country. So, here, based off of entirely their history, are how I see things with this World Cup now down to a final eight. Eighth, as far as having an a-hole history, it's Morocco. So Morocco was doing some bad stuff in the 700s, you know, like invading Europe. But they, for the most part, have been conquered for much of the last 1,000-plus years. So, like, now they've been, like, reaping what they've been sowing. So Morocco's the team, if you want to have the moral high ground, Morocco's the team you should be rooting for in this year's World Cup.
Is there any sort of, like, grading curve as far as this happened in the 700s? As opposed to, you know, things going on closer to current day.
It's more important what's going on closer to current day.
It's weighted towards the 21st century.
Correct.
Okay.
Tied in sixth, you have Brazil and Argentina. Now, why are they sixth and seventh? Because they harbored Nazis. But for the most part, what have they really done, you know?
I'm glad you brought that up. That's why it's a tie.
Okay. People forget that. Now, right after them, in fifth place, as far as being a-holes historically, it's Croatia. Now, do yourself a favor, look up what went on recently with some of the wars in Yugoslavia. Croatia doesn't exactly look the best, and they kind of use the fact that Dubrovnik, where King's Landing is shot, to get all of like NATO on their side in a war that they were having with one of their neighboring countries. But the other thing is, too, they were Nazis in World War II. Croatia, Nazis. Did you know that?
Not until I started working with you.
Yes.
And now I'll never forget.
Croatia, one of the three European Nazi countries. The Netherlands, fourth place. You're probably thinking to yourself, wait a second, why are they in fourth? Because they're like somewhat progressive. Well, colonies, you know, they just were like of all the colonies, the colonizers out there, like they did the least.
Yeah. But they did do some work in Africa.
Oh, my God. They sure did. Now, luckily, they can pin some of that on Belgium, you know? It's not all them. Like, Belgium did worse stuff there. But, yeah, there's some bad stuff in the Southeast as well. France, number three. Because France, in Vietnam, in Africa, they also have had some bad things. But at the very least, their people killed their king. So they haven't had a king in, like, 200 plus years.
I was going to ask.
Good job by them.
Does the French Revolution, that's a positive.
Positive, okay. Yeah. Now, it was kind of bloody and it did get a little crazy.
That's why I was asking if it was a
right.
positive.
But like, hey, it was like, it was inflicted upon themselves. It was like they were flacking themselves, flagellating themselves. Two, surprise, Portugal. You're like, what? Wait a second, what? Portugal has colonies? Well, it's not about that. Portugal started the slave trade. They started it. So they're the second worst. And number one, England. England has oppressed literally everyone. England started opium wars in China. England essentially ruled India with an iron fist. England, of course, like, they were sort of annoying with us. Like, we actually had it pretty good, honestly. Like, they just raised the taxes on our tea. But Scotland, Ireland, look up a place. England's probably done some bad stuff to it. So there you go. In no particular order. Here's who you should check that. In a very decided order.
It's literally power rankings. I said no
particular order. Yeah, hang on. Okay? Sometimes we just say things and we don't know what's coming out of our mouth. Okay? But if we're rooting for teams left in the World Cup, entirely based off of history, Morocco, you have the most of a moral high ground. Brazil and Argentina, you have a little bit, but you're pro-harboring Nazis. Croatia, cool uniforms. Actual Nazis back in the day. Netherlands, colonizers. France, colonizers. But colonizers who, like, have been invaded by Germany a couple of times. So, you know, it's like a little bit less than that of Portugal. Introduced the slave trade. Also has Ronaldo. And then England last. Can't root for England. Time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Couple of stories to dive into before we get out of here and the killer bees take over. Would it surprise you to find out that James Harden went to the club with Lil Baby after playing horribly on Monday night as the 76ers fell in double overtime to the Houston Rockets? 4 of 19 from the field, 7 turnovers, out at the club. I feel like I should appreciate Harden's commitment to not basketball, but going out more than I do. I would love to be able to pull that off in my day-to-day life, but it also helps to have been enabled for every single step of your career.
I think once they showed Lil Baby on the Jumbotron and on AT&T Southwest, I was ready for this story to come.
Yeah, as soon as you saw him on the sideline, you're like, oh, okay.
This is really a homecoming for both of them.
100%. Would you take a job for $35 an hour to be an official baseball scorekeeper? Baseball is looking for scorekeepers. Here's what you got to do. Arrive at the ballpark no later than 60 minutes prior to the scheduled start time. I'm out already.
Wait, are you on the clock for that?
I don't think you are.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
I'll show up early for $35 extra, but no.
I mean, for an hourly rate in baseball, like you have a good chance to get an extra hour.
You're probably looking at four.
Right. So we're talking about to score a game, what, $140 a game or so? You get to round up, like if you work for 30 minutes after the hour?
I think baseball is trying to screw you over.
Yeah, probably. You have to keep a detailed scorecard of the game, focusing on every pitch and play. See, I'm also out there, like focusing on every pitch and play. No, that's a lot. $35 an hour, though. That job could be yours. I love Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, it was his birthday yesterday, and Giannis, who has proven online that he is rather horny at times, seeing as he has a bell to receive a certain action that his girlfriend gave to him, and also that he was tweeting about how much he loved the halftime show with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. This is what he wants for his birthday.
I don't know if my lady has anything planned for me. I hope they have something planned for me, maybe like a birthday cake. Maybe like a birthday card, or maybe like a birthday watch, or maybe a jewelry. I would love that. I don't know if my family is watching right now. They should go get them. I will not want to go to dinner because I have a game the next day. I want to be able to rest and get my treatment that I usually do and take my nap and play with my kids. After once I put my kids to bed, you never know what can happen, you know? Might get a little bit freaky. It's my birthday.
He's the best. He is the best. It's embarrassing, too, that there was a Giannis versus Harden beef and that people in Houston were caving for Harden. Like, one of many things that I just will never understand. Giannis is the most hysterical person there is. That's an exaggeration. For the sake of a fact! Paul Galacho, big thanks to everybody who tuned in. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. For Sean Mapes, the Twitchers, the callers, the texters, I'm merely Paul Galacho. So long, farewell. Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.